This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irarangi te motu, MPR. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.mpr.nz/donate.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future.
Don Donald Bird.
And Fran Bird.
And I'm Stuart Burks. Now, Don, you were saying about your early childhood and the experience.
Yeah, my early childhood didn't worry me awful much because I wasn't really very much alive to it. But I lost two mothers in childbirth in Whangarei. And I was brought up by a third mother, and then I lost my father before I got to high school, which was a little bit out of the norm, I think. All of them had been teachers. Sorry. My father was a high school teacher. My two mothers were primary school teachers. The third mother was not. She was a Karatani nurse, so... she was out of the norm.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
I was the oldest of four. My younger brother, full brother, was a surgeon. He was, when I say surgeon, he qualified as a surgeon from the University of Otago, and he spent his working life at Hamilton Hospital.
Most of it, yeah.
The next one was a teacher, Jennifer Mary. She was a I'd call her a teacher, I think. But as soon as she was 21, she went to Britain because she didn't get on with her stepmother at all, and she was sort of fleeing the nest, as it were. My third sibling, second sister, was a daughter of that third stepmother, and she is the only other one still alive at the moment, but not very well. She was typist at Pickeringa College for a long time, secretary at Pickeringa College. And she married one of the Tuckers of Tucker Sunshine Foods, but that marriage sort of failed after so long. But she, Barbara, is still alive and living by herself in Pangaranga.
So with them being so half siblings, were you close?
Yeah. I would say so. My father brought us up to believe that family was one of the most important things in life. So we were supportive of each other. We used to play together. We used to live together. I remember living in Ashburton on the edge of Mona Square for many years, where we would all play out on that square with the rest of the neighbourhood kids, children. And on Monday nights, I think it was, watching the fire brigade having their practices. In Waimate, we lived next door to the, for a little while, next door to the, or something that made an awful lot of smoke and fire, and then went down Lower High Street for a while and lived down there for a few months. But we, in those days, we would get to know the children, other children in the town, very easily and very well. But then, once my father died, I had one of his brothers-in-law come down to Ashburton and collect Jerry and me, my brother and I, took us back to Awanui, which was in the very far north. And we had a year on a farm, dairy farm, which was quite a different experience, with our cousins, all the bird cousins, and my father was the only one that wasn't a dairy farmer in that family, because he had gone to Auckland and done a teaching course following his mother, who also was a teacher. So there's a bit of teaching in the family and a lot of non-teaching.
So did you ever think of becoming a teacher yourself?
I did, but I would have run a mile from it. I was not I mean, I tried to teach professional subjects for a while, but it didn't work. And I couldn't do it, I'm afraid. I was even paid to do it, but it didn't help.
Yeah.
And they all correspondence courses, which made it worse, probably. But I had no problem learning myself. I was able to learn different professional courses and qualify in several different courses. And I used them in my professional life. And they're all helpful.
Did you feel there was much change, or was it continuity? You said it didn't affect you so much, or you thought it was fairly normal, your family circumstances.
Well, in the early days, I didn't know the difference.
I think the only place, or the first place perhaps, where it became obvious that things weren't quite as easy as some people had it, was when you came to end of schooling, when your mother said, you know, you're going to have to leave school, I can't afford to keep you there any longer, you've got to go find a job. And that perhaps was why you did university work part-time, as you could in those days, rather than go to university full-time, which you might have done these days.
She also got me a job in Biglow's bookshop, her uncle's bookshop, in Shortland Street, which was a good, wonderful experience. And of course it was the era of the polio epidemic, when schools finished early and started late again next year. So you know, it was a bit double-edged in a way.
So what happened? Your father died, but your stepmother still raised you, or you spent a year with your uncle?
Well, during that
once
year,
my father died, she had she took the two girls
returned
to Auckland and eventually found a house there in Mount Albert. And after a year, she called Jerry and me back to that to re-establish the family.
Okay.
In the meantime, we went to live in Awanui with my father's brothers and sister.
Okay. So then she brought you all up by herself?
Yep. Without any money.
Was she able to work then? Or?
No, not really, but she had her brother-in-law was a Queen Street lawyer, and I'm sure he helped, you know, beyond measure.
Oh.
I'm guessing, but...
She also was a trained Karatani nurse and she did occasionally took babies into her home to care for them in the case of illness of the mother or something like that. So she worked a little bit, but not on a regular basis.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it was quite hard for her. I don't know whether there was any life insurance or anything like that. I don't think there was much at that time. This is during the war.
Well, there were lodges which helped.
The lodges did help, yes.
So what did you do for transport? Did you have a car or...
Well, there was a good tram service in Auckland at the time, and we were only half a mile from the tram. And you know, the trams radiated from the city out to the suburbs, and it was a different matter if the girlfriend lived on the other side of the city. It was a long way to go then, but
But your mum did buy a car.
She bought a car eventually, and by the time I reached the 20s, I was able to drive one.
And the family just stayed together, right? Or you kept close contact
until
she died?
Yes. My sister, younger sister, is still living. We still see her. My brother died 10 years ago now. And my first older sister died in London. She married a Scotsman and lived in London for most of her life. But her daughter has been out to New Zealand only this last month. So they're keeping the contacts.
We did a lot of travelling from 1980 on and saw Jen nearly every year. Would always go to London and spend at least a few days with her.
And I'd say to Fran each time, I guess this will be the last time we'll see Jennifer. And 20 years later, she's still going. Because she had diabetes from her early days and teenage years, and she reached the 80s, actually.
And then you went to university while you were working.
Right. What we call part-time.
Yeah. So it wasn't the distance to extramural study, it was just part-time study.
It was a commerce degree, so it was related to the work I was doing.
So you could just take time off work and go to lectures?
Well, I didn't need much time off work. I had to work after it.
The lectures were all early evening, weren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
6 o'clock onwards.
Yeah.
Accommodated that by having lectures from 5 onwards, 5 till 7 or something like that every night.
And there was only one university in New Zealand at that time with 5 constituent colleges or 6 constituent colleges.
So you were doing all this in Dunedin?
No, I was doing that all in Auckland.
In Auckland, okay.
And then I got transferred to Dunedin because I was being a bit bolshy. They wanted to send me overseas, and I said, no, not till I finished my degree. So I said, well, you can go from as far away from Auckland as you possibly can. And the only place I could go to was Dunedin and still do what I wanted to do. So I went down there and finished there. That's where I met Fran the first or second week I was there.
So what was the reason why the issue? You could have gone overseas, but you didn't want to drop your degree.
I didn't want to throw away the studies I had done.
Yes.
Without keep completing the qualification.
It was only 9 months off finishing. I mean, May, and he'd have finished at the end of the year.
And the company wasn't happy with that?
No. And later on, I found another fellow in a somewhat similar position. He had been manager for Southeast Asia, and he said they did the same to him. And he acquiesced, so he rose to the top. I didn't acquiesce, so I didn't.
So what was the... They didn't want someone finishing a degree, is that
no,
right?
No, they thought independence was something not to be cultivated.
Okay. So did they assist... When you were doing the studies, were they assisting with the studies?
No.
So it was totally separate from...
And they didn't even know, really, that I was doing much. Well, they did know, but they didn't take any notice.
Okay. So they weren't trying to train up their staff? They'd take advantage of the things that you learned, presumably?
No. I mean, 15, 20 years later they would be.
Yes.
But not in those days.
Okay. So was that because a lot of the routine work didn't require university-type training?
Oh, none of it did.
Okay.
And it didn't even require professional training of the same kind.
So was there any training that you'd have?
Yeah, in-house type training.
So they do in-house training in what, basic accounting? And
no, insurance.
Basic insurance, okay.
And they were only one of the two major insurance companies in the New Zealand at the time.
Okay. Yeah.
But very antiquated.
Okay, so you went your own way, you got a degree, and then what?
Once I had my degree, I thought, well, I may as well use it if I can. So, 1956, I think it was, wasn't it? I hung up my shingle and started to look for work. And I had been promised by a lot of the competitive insurance managers that if I did this, I would get the very next assignment they had. Didn't happen. They were all talk, with one or two exceptions. I had to trade on those one or two exceptions. But after a year, I had more work than I could handle. Okay. In fact, within 10 years, I was able to fund a round world trip with 3 months in the States, a university sabbatical. And nobody paid for it for me at that time.
So were there many other people doing it? You were taking a big risk and doing something quite unusual?
I was, and I was the youngest in the country by far. I mean, most of the fellows in the profession were old men. In comparison. Yeah.
Was there a professional body that you joined? Or?
New Zealand body. Yes, I was. Over the years, I have been president of the New Zealand Institute. I have been president of the Australasian Institute.
Institute of?
Loss of Justice.
Loss of Justice.
President of the Chartered Institute of Loss of Justice, UK, okay. And President of the International Institute of Loss of Justice from America.
Okay.
So that gave me a lot of contacts, shall we say, and a lot of, in many ways, it didn't bring any new work, but a lot of opportunities.
Okay. Now, you were married in those early days, mm-hmm.
We married before he went out into business on his own.
Yeah.
He was still working for the insurance company at the time we were married.
So you'd be involved in the decision and the early days and wondering what was going to happen?
Yes, although I never ever worked for him or worked in the office.
She refused to work for me.
But what was it like? Just the decision, did you think maybe it was a mistake the first few weeks? Or?
No, I think we acknowledged right from the beginning that it would take a little while to get going. And even though he was quite widely known in Dunedin by the other insurance companies who would have become his employers, he was quite widely known there. He wasn't perhaps so widely known at that time New Zealand wide, which came much later. And he, in the latter years of his professional life, was doing work for insurance companies all over New Zealand. I mean, anything in the really big category. Floods, earthquakes, whatever, fires. Opportunities that came because of experience you in the profession. People got to know you and know the quality of the work that you did and the quality of your employees.
So would most insurance companies have done this sort of thing in-house before, or were there other independent loss adjusters?
No, it's only more recently they've done it in-house. They seem to think they can save money by doing it in-house.
So there was actually a separate profession of loss adjusters. You jumped from one to the other, basically. So how did the established loss adjusters react to this young person out of an insurance company just
a whippersnapper,
Well, he was lucky in Dunedin. There were no other
no one competing with me.
Professionals at
way.
That stage.
Well, Stuart Little was probably the last one.
But he was virtually retired.
And he retired within a year or two of my starting.
Yeah, you didn't think of buying into an established business then? Or?
No. That wasn't done in those days.
Okay.
In the same way as it is now.
In so. Later years, he went into... there was an amalgamation of businesses in Australia and New Zealand. Don was the New Zealand leg of it.
Mm.
And there were four or five Australian companies, one in each state.
Mm.
So that New Zealand, in that sense, became another state of Australia and that they were equal.
Okay.
And they formed a business set up and became probably the leading adjusters in Australasia at that time. That would be in the 70s, was it?
Yeah.
Late 70s, early 80s. And that continued through till that business then was bought out by some Swiss company in the late 80s.
Yeah.
Just
and
before the 87.
We all got some money out of that.
Yes. Yeah.
Swiss pranks.
And so when you retired, were you able to sort of sell your business or you just close it? Or?
Well, no, we had merged it with GAB, as we called it, who sold the whole shebang out to the Swiss.
Ah, okay.
And,
and that was when you retired, was it?
Yeah.
No, they
soon
kept
afterwards.
Us on.
Yeah, they kept them on for a
kept
while.
Kept us on to keep the thing going.
Okay.
And we retired shortly after that.
So did the nature of the work change much during your working life?
I don't think so. I don't even think the standards changed awful much. Grant would probably say that the nature of the work is still the same today. But
the main difference would be the number of insurance companies who've gone under or amalgamated, because when you were working in the early days there were 30 or 40 insurance companies in New Zealand.
Yeah, the British had a whole number of companies.
But you're now down to what, four or five or something?
Hmm.
Yeah. So would they, when there were so many, were they reinsuring to cover themselves?
Reinsuring.
You know, if they say we'll cover you, but they take out their own cover, so if there's heavy claims against them, part of it's going to be.
Well, they probably would have reinsurance behind the scenes.
Go through Lloyd's or something.
Yeah.
Like okay.
I went to see Lloyd's once or twice, and you had to go to Lloyd's three times at least before they even knew who you were in London, which I duly.
Lloyd's would be a bit. That was, wasn't it? The now, what's the term? The if you're in Lloyd's, that there's small groups of people who think
yeah.
all like a syndicate.
Yeah, yeah, syndicate.
So what do you mean when you went to Lloyd's? Was
well,
there an established
they had a management
as well as
system?
Oh, okay, yeah, okay.
Big flash ugly building in London, right on the city of London.
Yeah, okay.
But I found it fascinating.
Yeah. Why is that?
Well, it was so different from what we had in New Zealand. Mm. We had company institutions in New Zealand.
Mm.
But they were all small syndicates
yeah.
over there.
Mm. Well, some New Zealanders got caught up in some of that, though, didn't they? They became involved in syndicates and then after one or two...
Yeah, a few years back.
Catastrophes, mm. yeah. Mm. So I suppose individuals might.
Mind you, there are syndicates and syndicates. I mean, I was mainly concerned with fire and accident syndicates.
Oh, yeah.
The main aspect of Lloyd's is the marine system,
yeah.
shipping,
yeah.
Which I didn't ever get involved in.
So what was your interest in the work itself? What would be a good job to get into?
I guess my specialty was dealing with properties, fires and properties. Fires or floods or earthquakes in property.
And the resulting loss of profits.
And, the resultant accounting losses.
Mm.
Because I could do the accounting work as well, and a few could do that.
Mm. Okay. And what about insurance fraud? Was that something that...
I didn't encounter it much. Some people would say I must have been blind, but mind you, I was working in Otago where there was very little fraud, very little dishonesty, very little attempts to try you on. That all seemed to... The further north you went, the more likely you were to strike it, I found.
Is it sort of small community and reputation was important?
Good old Scottish reputation.
Scottish ethic was... Mm. Work ethic was fairly strong.
Yeah.
And Christchurch almost as much, but not quite. Mm.
And you're thinking, looking back now, you'd chosen that for your, as a career or a way to spend a large part of your life. Looking back, you think that was a good choice?
I think it was. I don't know that I would do it again, mainly because the whole systems have changed. The people the companies have changed. Mm. But in those days, it was a good thing to do, don't you think, Fran? Mm.
The insurance companies saw themselves by and large as a service company.
As an honourable group of people.
And that was the ethic to which they worked. That doesn't seem to be the case now. It's
more than money.
Make money at anybody's, at any cost sort of thing now. And that's the change, I think, that's the swing.
You think it was a very stable community then, so it was the same people spending a lot of time interacting together?
Yes, largely.
And I suppose international things wouldn't come in very much at that stage because of...
Well, yes. There were a number of Britons in the industry in New Zealand because there were British insurance companies. Very few Americans, a few Australians, mainly Kiwis, who had were working for all different insurance companies, and I think it's some of the old names like the Atlas, the Royal Exchange, the Phoenix, and that sort of thing. You wouldn't run into them these days. As our history.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you're a fan of NPR, listening to our podcasts and live stream has never been easier. Just search for accessmedia.nz on the App Store or Google Play and download the app with the kiwifruit logo. Once you've got it, pick Manawatu People's Radio from the list of stations and go find your new favourite show.